When it comes to, you've been in the legislature since 2012, is that right?
I was elected in 2012, so I've been there for 5 years.
So 5 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, what have you learned in 5 years in Springfield? That you know, listeners know. I mean, we're in trouble in this state, and we have a tendency to sometimes want to just kind of turn away from it. Well, you can't. Not with bills like we have and responsibilities we have.
I think most of your listeners, if they came down to Springfield and they actually saw the level of the debate and how bills would pass, they'd be appalled. They'd be very disgruntled with the process to begin with, and the lack of knowledge before you vote on a bill, and simply there's no data. It's all emotion and a talking point, and nobody's looking at the bottom line. It's been going on and on and on. And, you know, that education bill was horrific, and that was passed with a bunch of lobbyist input. In fact, bureaucrats wrote that bill. Legislators didn't write that bill. Menard never wrote that bill. Berrickman didn't write that bill. Oh, no, no, no. This was an inside job done by a bunch of uber-zealous education gurus who thought that they know how to run schools better than the local people do. So yep. it's appalling who writes these bills and how it gets passed.
And people's reaction to it. The Illinois Policy Institute published a new article saying they've used information from the Internal Revenue Service on November 30th data. Some 42,000 tax returns have left the state of Illinois. Mm-hmm. They counted that data from IRS, not only the tax returns, but the exemptions that were included in the tax returns. And it seems to indicate that 86,100 left 2015-2016.
Sure. And with those 86,000 people, walked $4.75 billion in income. Income that won't be taxed in the state of Illinois.
So you already read the report. You knew the exact figure.
Absolutely. You know, the other thing is these were not, you know, retirees going to the Sun Belt. These were millennials looking for job opportunities in Wisconsin and Indiana because we're not competitive anymore. And that doesn't bode well for anybody who wants to stay in Illinois. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful. We've been traveling the state, and I'm just amazed at the beauty of the state.
Well, you're in the right end for the beauty, I think. So, as we continue to look forward, and, you know, you made it official yesterday.
Yes.
By filing, of course, the deadline yesterday. So, there's going to be two Republicans in the primary. And I think what will happen is some people say, well, if it hadn't been for the sanctuary law, hadn't been for the abortion law, Jeannie Ives wouldn't run.
And that probably is true because there wouldn't be such animosity against Governor Rauner and really the straw that broke the camel's back sort of attitude that we're done with you now. We may have given you 4 more years, we may have stuck through you 4 more years, but make no doubt about it. Neither one of those bills was the overall catalyst for my run. I've watched this man absolutely not lead on policy, not explain anything to anybody, and make terrible decisions. On about crony bailouts for corrupt governments and mismanaged public utilities on the backs of state taxpayers. And I've had enough. So for me, it's all really about the fiscal issues in the state of Illinois, something we sent him to change and reform, and he didn't do anything. You know, he just basically doubled down on the bad policies of the Democrats. Look, Democrats, when they had complete control, never put in place a number of the policies that he did. They didn't put in an education funding formula that bailed out Chicago. They had complete control, could have done it a decade ago, and they never did. He did that. He signed on to junk science on transgender stuff. He signed on to a tax on crisis pregnancy centers. He signed on to taxpayer funding of abortion on demand through all 9 months.
These are pretty fundamental conservation conservative issues. While at the same time, yesterday, the governor referring to you, quote, fringe. When I hear somebody, what I would consider a fringe candidate, I would very often think about something like bathroom legislation or burning the flag and trying to drive a schism between people. Mm-hmm. In the case here, we're talking about some pretty fundamental Republican Party platform material, isn't it?
Absolutely. There's nothing fringe about this candidacy. He's trying to dismiss it because he can't answer it. And that's what I find he just quite funny. You know, the man now, you know, It's just hysterical that he has no answers. He speaks in platitudes and generalities because he knows nothing about policy. He couldn't tell you one thing down deep about any of the policy choices that he made because he didn't make them. He let his staff make them, and he got trapped. He got trapped into signing bills because his staff was out of control.
The last time I did speak with him, which was last week, a week ago Thursday, I believe it was, he did openly admit that we are $2.7 billion out of whack. You know, when it comes to this singular issue, the state of Illinois, that we can't continually, cannot mind our own checkbook. It is wearing on people. We talked about the Illinois Policy Institute. This is verified. You can go to U-Haul and get this information verified as well. We know people are leaving the state of Illinois, and there's no reason to think that trend will stop after the tax increase, because we've already seen what previous tax increases, even though they were, in fact, temporary. That's never happened, but something gone. But well, it's back now. You know, they're leaving. We are looking at fundamental issues here when it comes to the state of Illinois, and we can't seem to be able to seal the deal on minding the most rudimentary math. I think people just kind of pull their hair out.
Look, Governor Rauner owns that 32% tax increase. He did nothing to stop that 32% tax increase, despite what he wants you to believe. He didn't make phone calls. He left the battlefield. He just gave up. He betrayed not just Republicans, but all sorts of independents and Democrats who also voted for him to get the fiscal house in order. He withdrew from the budget debates at the height of the debate. He did not hold Republicans against that tax increase with no reform. He gave in. Why? Because in his heart, he really is a big government guy. He'd like to fund education even more and more, even though you're getting no results for it. Why? Because you're not spending it in the correct ways. You're not holding people accountable for real results. I mean, they've had devastating reports come out of Chicago lately about graduation rates. What, 25% of the students in Chicago read and do math at grade level? That's pathetic. And you know, they talk about, you know, well, we have a 75% graduation rate. Yeah, but only less than 30% of your kids are considered college ready.
Yeah, and we're still spending
a lot of money for nothing.
Fight in the legislature whether we're going to teach cursive writing.
Right.
So the Republican Party downstate, we've seen some success. We saw Severin, you know, come into the race. We saw, you know, Republican take out Forby. You know, we have seen Terry Bryant hold a seat there that was, you know, in the past. Of course, Boston had it before, so we've seen that trend towards Republican. But Republicans have seen a lot of success downstate. Do you running for against Rauner in the primary? Does that hurt the Republican Party in the state of Illinois?
No, it helps the Republican Party in the state of Illinois. But you know why? Because people will stay away if Rauner's at the top of the ticket. People have no interest in voting for that man again, and it's universal, and it's throughout the suburbs and the city. You know, there's plenty of folks in Chicago that are dissatisfied with Governor Rauner's performance. The one thing I think both bipartisanly we agree on is that Rauner is a failed governor. And National Review Online said it best, worst Republican governor in America. That is his record. And nobody wants to get behind a man like that. He hurts us down ballot. He can't, a lot of our candidates, Republican candidates, don't want to campaign with him because he signed awful laws that do not represent Illinois' values and especially Republicans. So I don't know how he is a uniter of the party. I think he's a divider of the party.
How are we going to get out of the mess that we are in Illinois when it comes to getting the budget under control, when it comes to dealing with pensions, when it comes to being attractive to business again? Because this tax increase was not anything, you know, temporary, right? I mean, we have this monkey, financial monkey on our back. And the only way we're really going to be able to dig ourselves out is more business, more jobs, more taxes, and to grow. Well, the rest of the country is. We see the stock market up again, the Dow yesterday. I know we're up in the 60 or close to 70 records now in the last year or so. How are we going to capture that enthusiasm from the tax reform in Washington, D.C.? If they pull that off, it's already fueling Dow. How are we going to be able to catch up? And you've been here in Southern Illinois. You see that we're living in a different world. Medium income around $30,000.
Right? Yeah, but your public sector employees are paid, you know, two times that amount as their median income. So it's time to have an honest conversation about who's paying for what. And I'll be honest with you, I'm tired that when I look up my property tax bill and half the lines are for somebody else's pension. That's got to stop. That has got to stop. The pension system is killing us. We can't fund it. And Rauner never won the argument. He never made the argument to the people about why we need the reform. Even the Democrats in Rhode Island made the argument to the people and they got the reform that they need on pensions. Rauner, again, he just left the battlefield of ideas to somebody else. And he, you know why? Because he doesn't know the details. So anytime he's on the stump, he couldn't talk to his people specifically. Pension systems are bankrupting us. Over $8 billion, over 25% of our general revenue going to pensions. It's outrageous.
And we don't manage them well either.
We don't manage them well. We're sitting on $250 billion in debt. We're just now paying down $16 billion in unpaid bills.
And patting ourselves on the back for the process, too.
Yes, as we added more debt to people. Look, I looked up the statistics here. For Williamson County, every single household owes $33,000 in debt.
State.
So
not counting what D.C. does for you.
So, I mean, are you kidding me? That's an entire year's pay. Don't pay anything but pay off the debt in the state of Illinois. So it's time to have an honest conversation. Nobody's really had it with the taxpayers and laid out the numbers.
People talk to me and they say, you know what? When I don't work anymore, I won't be able to afford to keep my house.
And it's not just happening in southern Illinois, sir. It's happening everywhere. It's a problem in the suburbs. Let me give your audience a little. I don't know if I told this story on your radio show before.
Well, I'm ready to hear it.
Okay. So I grew up in a small farming community, so I feel very at home down in southern and central Illinois. In Vermilion, South Dakota, population 10,000, also the home of the University of South Dakota, which is a nice, university. So in the early 90s, four of us, there were six of kids in the family, four of us moved to Illinois for job opportunities all in different areas. I got a call from my sister about 3 weeks ago. She still is back in Vermilion, sells real estate. She said, Jeannie, there's a couple from DuPage County coming out to look at property in Vermilion, South Dakota. They drove 8.5 hours from DuPage County to Vermilion, South Dakota, looked at seven homes, and put a contract on one that same day. And Sarah says to them, well, what brings you to Vermilion, South Dakota? Do you got a new job here? You got family? They said, no, we've never been to Vermilion, South Dakota, but we can no longer afford our taxes in the state of Illinois, and we need an affordable place for our kids to go to college. The Ives administration will ensure that we are competitive with our conference peers at the university and college level so that middle-income families can afford to go to state universities. I've had enough of this.
Jeannie Ives, state representative and gubernatorial candidate in the Republican Party state of Illinois. When are you going to come back?
Anytime you ask me on, I'm happy to come on.
Good. Looking forward to it. Because the fact is, you and I could talk a great deal longer this hour and still uncover a long list of issues that need to be addressed in the state of Illinois. I'm really curious, the one thing that I've really just ticked off about is the collection fee. The 2%
yes.
collection
yes.
fee. That just, I'm thinking, what? You've already got a mechanism for it. It's all there. It's just a matter of how much ink you put at the back on the zeros, right? The mechanism's all in place. But now we're going to charge you to collect taxes from your community while we don't give you more of them back.
Well, that's just one of the. There's so many budget gimmicks that happened in that budget bill. I mean, I could go on and on about them. It gets pretty deep and weedy, but I'd love to do that.
Because it needs to be dissected.
Right.